Today on Real Life Radio.
Your personal individuality, God has created. God's made you that way. But the very important thing to keep in mind is that the Lord is molding and shaping you into a Christian, and He maintains your personality. God made you the way that you are, and He wants to use you that way.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs, and I want to encourage you to get real information on election night. So listen, sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com, and here's the reason why. You're going to be able to watch live coverage with myself, Tony Perkins, and some special guests. It's all going to happen on November 5th, that's Election Day, starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. See how your faith and your vote influences our culture. Watch for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Life and Bible, and his message today is called Being a Christian While Being a Man. Manlyhood is not for the weak, but it's for the humble, a man who recognizes his need for godly wisdom both inside and outside of his home. You see, the Christian man is one who rises to the occasion and takes action. He's a beacon for radical change. He's a leader and a visionary, a man who doesn't hide behind his personality, but is known for his morals and his character. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the Christian man walks with God at all times and in every situation. He's not a spectator Christian. He stands out as a doer and a giver of whatever someone might need. Just a note that some topics in this message might be PG-13. So if you have ones in the room with you who might be sensitive to that, this might not be the best message for them. Now with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Man, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Tonight, turn to the book of Colossians as we continue in our little mini-series that's going on. And while you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of a heads up of where we're going in the weeks ahead. As you know, that we finished the book of Judges, and we were en route to our next book, and this topical series opened up regarding relationships, and the Lord has been using it, and we're very happy about that. But for example, tonight we're going to be looking at being a Christian while being a man, and I'm talking about a man, a male man, male, men, guys, from young guys to old guys. We're going to be talking about what does a Christian man look like, and why that's important. Next week, we're going to be looking at being a Christian and being a woman. I should probably have my wife come up and talk on that one. But we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about women and what a Christian woman is all about. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking specifically about husbands. And then the week after that, about wives. Then we're going to be talking about being a Christian and being a youth, a young person. What does that mean? What does that look like? What is acceptable? And listen, I don't know, I know there's a lot of young people in here tonight, but our youth is under attack in a huge way. And they have been taught and sold a bill of goods that's insane. They've been told that they can do anything they want and experiment in any way that they feel, go ahead and fulfill and do those feelings, because after all, you're just experiencing and experimenting what you feel, and what you feel must be right. Well, listen, that's very wrong. You can get hurt obeying your feelings. So we're going to have a time regarding our youth. And then we're going to look at three very important back-to-back weeks of teaching on these Wednesday nights regarding this terrible topic. And I think it's absolutely essential that we cover this in light of our defense and victory regarding Proposition 8 and the definition of marriage. It would be one thing if we just defended the marriage as the Bible portrays marriage. But we need to look at the things as what threatens a marriage. And we're going to be looking at avoiding divorce. How do you go about avoiding a divorce? And then the week after that, we're going to be looking at enduring a divorce. People find themselves involved in a divorce. How do I make it through? How do I do this? And is there any hope for the marriage even going through the divorce? And why does the Bible say that God says, I hate divorce? Why does God say such a strong thing? And then we're going to be looking into the week after that, surviving divorce. What does the Bible say about those who have gone through divorce and what hope do they have regarding their relationships in the future. So we've got a lot of ground to cover. It's good stuff. We need it. And by the way, it is essential that you might be saying tonight, well, that doesn't affect me. But you might want to listen anyway because you might know someone that you can take notes or get the CD or the DVD and share it with others who are going through or in need of some of these teachings. Tonight, as I said, grab your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 1. And we are looking at our theme verses, for this entire series. Colossians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 9 down to verse 14. For this reason, said Paul to the church at Colossae, he says, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. God wants you to know what his plan is for your life. And in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And that's the heart of the Christian, to please the Lord. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, thank God for that, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we're looking at being a Christian while being a man. And what is the picture of the Christian man? And when people think today about a Christian and a man, the world out there, I want you to know something. Outside the walls of this church, when the world begins to think about what a Christian and a man looks like, they don't have a clue. What they conjure up in their mind is some sort of a backwood, knuckle-dragging dope who is some just wimpy Christian thing who doesn't know his right hand from the left. And you're going to be seeing these slides. We know these people to be actual Christians. Look at them. They look like people you work with. They look normal. Christians. Real normal people. Look at that guy. Look at him. Christians. There's a couple of them coming up. Look at them. Isn't that great? There's a couple of them coming up that you're going to recognize. One of these guys coming up should be one of our friends. And we're just going along here. Ah, you saw him, great, wonderful believer, Kurt Warner, bold believer for Jesus. There's a friend of mine, Jason Elam, loves the Lord Jesus, place kicker for Atlanta Falcons, Hall of Famer. John Voight, what's her name? Angelina Jolie's dad, loves the Lord Jesus, bold Christian in Hollywood, it's amazing. There's one of my favorite Christians of all time. George Washington's daughter said you might as well challenge his patriotism before challenging his Christianity because there was no doubt about George and his faith. And then one of the great Christians of all time, Sir Isaac Newton. Amazing. So listen, these are Christians. So when the world thinks about what a Christian man looks like, you just saw Christian men. But I want to argue with you guys tonight that there's a far cry from what we ought to be seeing as Christian men and what we see in and around our lives today. There needs to be a radicalization of Christian men. And I mean that literally. I'm talking about Christian men who pick up the word of God and no matter what, they're going to follow it and they're going to do it. The world needs to see Christian men like never before. And so guys, I'm going to ask you to keep this in mind. Your personal individuality, God has created. God's made you that way. But the very important thing to keep in mind is that the Lord is molding and shaping you into a Christian, and he maintains your personality. You are a man. Guys, listen, God made you the way that you are, and he wants to use you that way. This is a very, very important thing. So point number one in our study tonight, we're going to run through these. We got a lot of ground to cover. Being a Christian while being a man, what does a Christian man look like? Number one, mark it down. The Christian man stands up. And this is what I want to talk about tonight on this point. When I talk about the Christian man standing up, guys, I'm going to be giving you a pep talk tonight in that when we say stand up, we mean just radical change agent. That's what God wants from Christian men. Guys, raise your hand if you're a guy. If you're confused, we'll talk to you after service, but you should raise your hand. Okay, now, just for our argument tonight, I'm just going to assume that all of us are Christian. I know that's not the case, but all of us guys, let's just assume tonight that I'm speaking to Christian men. Christian men should be radical, and a Christian man becomes radical when he decides to read the Bible and obey it. Now, check it out. Then what if the world saw a radicalized version of Christianity? Listen, the world has already seen a radicalized version of Christianity, and that was Jesus, and that was the disciples, and that was the first century church, and that's been the church ever since. Who decides and yields to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? That is very, very important that you understand that. We as a church are powerless without the Holy Spirit in our lives. Absolutely essential. So when we talk about the radicalization, we're talking about a Christian man standing up. And I don't know how young you might be in here tonight, but you need to decide tonight, young man, that you're gonna stand for Jesus. My goodness, the best that we can tell in history, Jeremiah was taken captive somewhere around the age of 14 years of age. Daniel was somewhere between 12 to 18 years of age, taken captive. And these guys were radical for God. They were awesome for God. And so a Christian man who decides to stand up is a man that's going to be a leader. God's called you to be a leader. He made you a man. The world is against men. I want you to understand that. See, that's an insane thing to say. No, look at Hollywood. Look at the media. Men are, I had a word in my head that I can't use right now, but men have been removed from the place that God's ordained them to hold. And it's a very sad thing. The world needs to see Christian men energized. And that being true, men, Christian men, become change agents. Why? Because a Christian man who walks with the Lord, God anoints that person, you guys, wherever you go, that you will affect those around you for Christ. Now, some people might accept Christ because of you. Some people might reject Christ because of you. Some people might choose to be indifferent because of you. But that's not our job. We are to be witnesses for Christ in every situation at all times. We can't be too old to be a witness for Christ, and we can't be too young. It's important. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 to 15 says, "Now therefore," and Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel, "fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods or the idols which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Notice that there's no neutral ground, huh? You're serving somebody. Remember that? What's his name? That song he sang? Got to serve somebody. Remember that? It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. There's no middle ground. And Joshua is saying, you've got to pick. You've got to choose. Whether the gods of your fathers served, were they on the other side of the river, or the gods, listen, these pagan foreign gods in the land in which you dwell. But he says, listen, and I love it. Guys, listen, no matter how old, no matter how young you are tonight, the Lord says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Look, he's basically saying, Israel, you can fall in the tank if you want to, but the house of Joshua at our address, we're gonna serve the Lord. And that's what Christian men need to do. And it's not some day that maybe when you say I do at the altar or when you get your social security card or your driver's license that now I'm going to serve the Lord. Listen, if you're able to hear this message right now, now's the time to say I'm going to serve the Lord.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Number two is this. Being a Christian, well, being a man, and what does a Christian man look like in this world, is a man who stands out. A Christian man should stand out. Hey, listen. Remember Joseph in Egypt? You say, well, Jack, he was good looking. That's why he stood out. That's true. The Bible says he was good looking. And he looked different in his pigmentation of skin. Joseph was probably your average Hebrew, which is olive complected, either blue or green eyes, light blue or light green eyes, very stunning. The Israelis are extremely handsome people, beautiful people. Joseph probably looked amazing compared to those in Egypt. I'm not knocking Egyptians. They were probably great looking too. But Joseph was different. He was different looking. And he stood out, but that's not what got him in trouble. Remember Potiphar's wife came flirting with him? The Bible says every day she cast longing eyes upon him. Man, that is just lusty kind of talk for the Bible. Longing eyes. I don't know what that... It's like casting a... She's reeling them in. And she's flirting and flirting and flirting and flirting with him. And he had enough of it. And she had had enough of it. She couldn't take it. She's all fired up and in a hormonal rage. She goes down to where he's at and she grabs him and she just bold-faced. She says, lie with me. She's so subtle. Take me to bed. Take me down, Joseph. And he runs. He runs. Listen, Christian men, I don't care what this culture says and does to us any longer. It's time to run, guys. It's time to run. It's time to take your computer or your phone now. Now you've got all this porno on your phone. You need to either throw the thing away if you can't handle it, okay? Throw it away, burn the computer, blow it up or whatever it takes. Just get, run, will you? Run. You say, you gotta be, are you kidding? You think I'm gonna do that to my computer? You have no idea, dude, later on what you're sowing to. The Bible says what you sow to, you're gonna reap from it. And I'm telling you, you think you just take a peek at something and it doesn't lodge in your brain? Listen, man, there's stuff that before I was a Christian, 19 years of age and earlier, that if I relax my brain right now, all those things come back in my head in technicolor. Satan will see to it. And I can't even barely remember where I parked my car. Isn't it sick? You guys know, some of you guys are going, yep, 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 yep. It's a very dangerous thing. Christian men, we need to stand out from this world and be holy men, righteous men, godly men, making the right decisions and doing the right thing. You say, well, Jack, how do I do that? I'm going to introduce you to the Bible. Read it. Read it more than the sports page. Read it more than the funnies. Read it more than the internet. The Bible, read it. If it makes you feel better, if you're going to keep your computer, put the Bible on the computer and read it there. I'm so excited. The office decided, because they're trying to track me down all the time. They got me an iPhone, which I could care less. I hate phones. But it's got like a GPS thing where Jack, we know, there he goes. He's going down the 5 freeway right now. But it's got the Bible on it. That's the best part about my stupid phone. It's got the Bible on it. I think that's so cool. We need to stand out and be men of God. This is a very important thing, because when we talk about a man standing out, we're talking about character. It's time for us to focus on our character. And God is looking for men tonight that stand out. And this is vital. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 says, now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, then the 12 summoned the multitude together of the disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We got to study the Bible to give sermons. The church is growing. We got too much to do. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Every one of us, guys, no matter who we might be, every one of us tonight need to say once again and every day, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit afresh. I want to live this day for your glory, Jesus, and I want to be radical for you today. I want to stand out. And I'm asking if you'll take that challenge and do that. A Christian man becomes a man known to others as a man of morals, a man of uprightness. It's absolutely imperative. People mock Christianity today, and I don't blame them. There are so few leaders in Christianity today. Thank God. I don't agree with all of his doctrine, but thank God that Billy Graham has kept himself pure all these years and scandalous free. Thank God for that. He's a holy man. We need to do the same thing. We need to remember that in a sense, more powerful than a stadium watching us is the fact that God is watching. And we want to love him and bless him with how we conduct our lives. A Christian man ought to be a man respected. When somebody sees you in the community, at school, junior high, at the football game, whatever, listen, respected. I didn't say that they would love you. They'll probably hate you. But you know what? We need to understand what respect means also, that when the world respects us, it doesn't mean they're going to run up and give us a kiss and give us roses. They could hate us, but they actually respect the stand we take. They don't agree with it, but they respect it. And I'm hoping that this message tonight gets mainly, especially to the young people. You say, well, how does that happen? The Bible says, for example, and it's all about choice. How does that happen? You make a choice. Guys, listen. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, this is awesome stuff. Daniel's in captivity. The government, listen, has turned hostile towards believers in the God of the Bible. And anybody caught praying is going to die. You say, oh man, that's radical. Yeah, well, it could happen in your lifetime. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. They just outlawed prayer. Literally, in Babylon, Daniel says, well, they just signed the bill into action. He goes home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, you guys, are you with me, everybody? Are you listening? They just signed a bill in Babylon saying, we'll kill anybody who prays to the God of the Jews. Hey, Daniel, did you sign the bill? Oh, it's law now. So what does he do? He goes home, opens up the window, faces towards Jerusalem. He kneels down on his knees 3 times a day to pray and give thanks to God. And as was his custom since early days of his life, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And that all led to the lion's den situation. Men of God, men deciding, young men, middle-aged men, old men deciding, I'm going to follow God no matter what. And you take a stand and you stand out and you make that way that I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. Listen, like never before, we need men unwavering. I am going to do what God has told me to do and shown me in the Word of God. And even if, listen, even if the government says you can't pray in Jesus' name, guess what you do? You pray in Jesus' name. That is holy disobedience. You do that. You say, well, but it's against the law. Listen, not all laws are good. They're ungodly laws. Didn't the disciples teach us in the book of Acts that there are laws when passed and enforced that are so anti-Christ? For example, they told the disciples, no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, you know, you got the right to make your laws. This is a human government and all that stuff. But we answer to a different law. And we will not stop preaching the name of Jesus. It's better for us to obey God rather than man. And it is my prayer that there'll be men, Christian men, living the Christian life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Man. We're so glad you're with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
The book Eclipse of God by Dr. Erwin Lutzer is quite frankly, the smelling salts that the church needs to smell today to wake up, to get out of the apathy and lethargy that has been brought to us by really a woke ideology and a very wrong view of God, that God is somehow cool, God is somehow okay with whatever we decide to do, he's just going to get behind it. No, it's not true, my friend. The eclipse of God, we do wrong when we try to make our God an inclusive, all-available deity to anything that we want to do. This is a book about truth. It is powerfully written, of course powerfully written, by the best-selling author, Erwin Lutzer. Get your copy today. I promise you, it is a wake-up call.
The Eclipse of God by Erwin Lutzer is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jack Hibbs, and I want to encourage you to get real information on election night. So listen, sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com, and here's the reason why. You're going to be able to watch live coverage with myself, Tony Perkins, and some special guests. It's all going to happen on November 5th, that's Election Day, starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. See how your faith and your vote influences our culture. Watch for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.